This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host for the first hour, Corey Fleck, and I thank everybody for taking some time out of their weekend to listen to our show, whether it's on the radio, our podcast, or on our website, kereport.com. It's always great to hear from everybody, and please, everybody, email me at fleck@kereport.com if you have any questions on the companies that we continue to cover on our site. I do a lot of background work to try to bring on what I think are some of the more reputable management teams with a good story ahead of them. We're going to talk a little bit in this segment about management teams and the balance between these teams and jurisdiction. I have Byron King on the line with me. He writes The Gold Speculator with Jim Rickards and Byron King. Byron, let's talk about, again, that balance between management team and jurisdictions. Management teams, obviously very important. Make sure that these people have a track record. But when it comes to jurisdictions, we're even seeing some of these better management teams battle with the thought of, do I go into these riskier places to try to chase some better grade, or do I stick to these other areas where it is more expensive and maybe some of the grade is diminished a little bit, but at least you have that confidence knowing that most likely the government isn't just going to step in and take it away from you. In your newsletter, how do you balance these two factors when analyzing companies?
Hi, it's great to be with you, first of all. As far as the question goes about balancing jurisdiction risk, I tend to go with the lower risk play. Because jurisdiction can wreck your asset in a matter of hours. It can wreck it, you know, it can literally wreck it overnight. Many of the risky jurisdictions are on another side of the world, you know, from here in North America. So literally while you sleep, you can wake up and the damage is done. I mean, for example, this particular week, we had news out of Congo. You know, that they are considering nationalizing, you know, the mining industry down there, and that in and of itself just sent shockwaves. I mean, if you have any, you know, a big company like Ivanhoe, for example, you know, I mean, all that's their key locale for, you know, for what they're doing, and so perhaps it's just hot air blowing, you know, from some political minister or something like that, but maybe not. As far as I'm concerned, I want to stick with rule of law. I want to stick with transparency. So a lot of the companies in the Rickards Gold Speculator, which I write along with Jim, a lot of my companies are in the Yukon. They're in Quebec. You know, I've got Mexico, but, you know, again, but it's like selectively in Mexico, you know, northern Mexico, Sonora State, where they're, you know, it's fairly safe part of the world. I mean, if you're looking for trouble, I suppose you'll find it. But I mean, that part of Mexico does not have the problems that you read about in the newspapers and that make the headlines. And so jurisdiction matters a lot. I want to see honest government, if that's not a contradiction in terms.
I like that comment there, Byron. Honest government, yeah. Who knows exactly what kind of government you're going to get when you move into a country, but there are definitely ones that are riskier and have a track record of being much riskier in that sense. When it comes to, again, analyzing these companies and analyzing these management teams, how important is it to see a management team working in a country or jurisdiction where they already have some success? Is that important to you?
Well, that is, because the management teams need to be able to work with the political authorities, with the regulators, and work with the people. You know, when I go visit companies, and when, you know, whether it's an office visit to the headquarters, but it's definitely when I go out into the field. I mean, if I'm in Canada, that's one thing. But if I'm in a country that's not an Anglo-Saxon English-speaking type country or whatever, I expect to see a lot of locals. In fact, I want to see a lot of locals. I want to see a local face. I want the land manager to be local. I want the secretaries to be local. I want the geologists to be, local, because that's how you get these things done. I mean, there's just the sense that, there's a comfort level when the geologist is talking to the regulator or to the legislators or whomever, and they're all literally speaking the same language. They grew up watching the same shows, and they sing the same music, and they eat the same food, and you eliminate a lot of problems. And so I want to see management in Toronto or in Vancouver or in, wherever they happen to be, in Denver, wherever they happen to be. That's fine. They can be U.S., Canadian, Brits, whatever, but as far as the people on the ground go, you gotta have locals, and as the music man used to say, you gotta know the territory. And so if you don't do that, you're just adding a huge amount of risk to it. That's one angle to it, one angle, but I guess I would say also that there's a bigger issue that I see it in the big mining companies and the intermediate mining companies. They're so confused about where to go. Maybe they want to go for certain assets that really look good, the real shiny thing kind of assets, and but they're in a risky jurisdiction, but as opposed to perhaps a slightly less quality asset, still a good asset, but less of a shiny thing, but it's in a safer jurisdiction. Do you go for Chile or do you go for the Yukon? Do you want to make one more play in Indonesia or do you want to keep it all back in Quebec or something like that? I understand the problem. I mean, look at a big company like Freeport, and the problems that they have been having in recent years with Grasberg in Indonesia. My free advice to the people who run Freeport is, you guys need to figure out what you're going to do after Grasberg. I mean, I really haven't seen the plan yet, and that matters a lot. That matters a lot to the big companies, and it matters a lot to the junior guys who have these prospects that they're working up out there, the early stage or mid stage exploration or the early stage developers, who have things out there on the table ready to go or almost ready to go, but they need a partner. They need to partner up so they can get some money and finish up the drilling and, build up the resource, or they need a partner to come in and, help them, finish the development work on a mine or something like that.
It's always important to consider what the majors are going to do, because that is usually the end game for a lot of these junior companies. But dealing in different jurisdictions, there are opportunities, but those opportunities bring some pretty serious risks. Byron, let's get a couple comments on the market from you, because this week, again, another volatile week in the U.S. equity markets. You can make the argument that the precious metals, gold and silver, held up relatively well compared to the drop we saw in the U.S. equity markets. But in a broad sense for gold stocks on GDX, that suffered. It even broke below that 21 level that everyone was watching on Friday. But some select stocks are still managing just fine. It seems to be very much a stock picker's market. Can you comment on this?
Indeed, it is a stock picker's market. And although it's a stock picker's market with some rhyme and reason, but perhaps, not a lot of rhyme and reason. I mean, it's a stock picker's market. But then again, we have companies out there that are doing all the right things, and they're still getting beat up. I don't want to get into specific names, right now over the airwaves or whatever. But I've been looking at companies that are doing all the right things. Good assets, good people. They have drilling program. They've got capital discipline. They've got their spending under control. They have a very good program, but yet, they're getting beaten up.
Okay. Interesting comments there, Byron. Always great having you on the show. I'm going to touch base with you in another couple of weeks and get a few more company updates. Byron, great chatting with you. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. second segment here on the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Avi Gilbert. He is a technical trader, one that's been on the show a number of times, well-respected in the industry. And, Avi, I always appreciate you spending time with us. Since we're going to cover a lot of different markets, I want to get right into it. First and foremost, I think we have to talk about the U.S. equity markets. Let's look at the SPX chart. After a very boring and pretty much straight-up year in 2017, we're starting to see some crazy volatility for the U.S. equity markets from the peak just a couple weeks ago down to the low that the SPX has put in. We're seeing just over 12%. It's bouncing almost perfectly off that 50-week exponential moving average. Avi, what are some of your comments on these moves, the crazy moves that we're seeing in the U.S. equity markets?
Well, coming towards 2018, I personally did not expect we were going to have a direct move up over 2,800. I really thought we were going to get that after a pullback. And this is the pullback that I was waiting for. I was looking for a pullback that potentially is going to take us down to, ideally, the low 2,400 region. So for now, I think today's low should hold, and we could potentially get a nice rally off today's low. Right now, once we topped, we set up a target zone of 2424 to 2539 on the SPX. Today, we hit that on the money. I think we even bottomed just a few points below it. Yeah. We've hit our minimal target for this correction so far. I just don't think it's going to be over this quickly. My preference would be next week. We see a really nice rally, maybe even going back to the 2800 region. But unless I see this turning into a very impulsive rally, which really is a term of art with an Elliott wave, meaning a five-wave structure with a three-wave pullback, my expectation is going to be that the rally is probably going to be part of a larger B wave that's going to set us up for another drop back down into our support zone of the 24 to 2500 region. But ultimately, we're seeing, as long as we're holding that 2400 region, we're still looking for 3011 minimally, with an ideal target of 3223 potentially by the end of the year.
Okay, so you're still seeing these markets not necessarily fall out of bed and not necessarily have the top being in. There is still charts that you're watching that are showing you new all-time highs potentially this year still.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think we can get there this year. Right now, the market still does not have a completed pattern in the long term, at least the way I'm looking at it. So I still think we should be getting to at least the 3,000 region, ideally 3,223 by the end of this year or early next year. And then we should be looking for probably about a 20 to 30% correction.
Okay, so even with how quickly this drop has happened, and as much as I think everybody was waiting for some sort of correction, due to the speed, does that impact your charts at all or impact your outlook?
Not really. I mean, normally, if we would have gotten here and it would have taken us 2 months, I would have said, oh, the correction's probably done already. But when you get this move and it's only taking you 2 weeks, well, I'm not so sure the correction is done already.
All right, Avi, let's move into the commodities sector, more specifically the precious metals. Silver and gold, the actual metals, are performing, you could argue, decently. They are moving down, but not to any extent that the equity markets are moving down. And on a stock basis, there are some stocks that are still holding up, but GDX is actually breaking down. As we're recording this, it has touched just below that 21 support zone. As an overview comment for the metal sector, please tell us where you stand.
Well, overall, I think, and this may sound crazy, I think gold and silver have actually been much stronger from my perspective than the GDX and the mine and what the GDX represents. We've been tracking a whole host of miners that we have in our portfolio, and oddly enough, they are holding up so much better than the GDX. which today the GDX actually broke an immediate upside setup we were tracking in the GDX. But all the miners that we're holding individually are doing so much better than that. None of them have even come close to breaking their setups. So I'm trying to discount the GDX a little bit, and I'm looking specifically at silver and gold, and I'm looking at this 1605 to 1610 region we've been focusing on silver and futures. And there's one specific chart that I use. It's actually a 144-minute chart, and I use a MACD on it. And the way the setup is on the MACD has identified every single bottoming setup that we have had in this chart and the metals complex as a whole for years. I don't think we've missed a single bottoming setup yet based upon this chart. And this chart is right now in that bottoming setup. So, you know, can we get one more lower low? Yes, we can. But I got to tell you, this chart is telling me that we potentially are sitting on a reversal very soon.
Now, when you say reversal, is this a strong reversal? Is this a reversal that could take us back to levels we saw in 2016? Or is it, again, just a reversal from the bottom part of this trading range it's been in?
If we can get back up over the 17 region in a nice impulsive structure, then meaning a five-wave structure, then I think we are setting up to blow past 19 by springtime.
Okay. Now, what about gold? As you mentioned, gold, I agree with you, is held up better than some of the underlying stocks. But that being said, when you do look at some of the quality gold stocks, those are still doing quite well. It's very much a stock picker's market in the precious metals sector. Your outlook for gold, please.
I mean, we follow the GLD for this, so most people can follow it. And, you know, when we caught the top not too long ago on this run, we were looking for a pullback minimally to the 124 to 125 is the upper range of our region. And we've hit that. Ultimately, as long as we stay over 121, 122, this is a very strong setup, again, up into the spring. And if we take out that 130, 131 region in the GLD, I mean, 138 is going to be an intermediate target, which we should blow by, and we should be heading straight up to about the 144, 145 region minimally if we can take out that top.
And that would take us to highs above the 2016 highs. Very encouraging.
But again, as long as we hold that 121, 122 region, for me, this is a very strong setup.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment, but Avi and I did continue this conversation. The full version will be posted on our website, kereport.com. In the second segment, also pay attention to some of the other segments in this first hour that also ran long. Everybody stick around. I am going to be right back with Mark Chandler and some comments on the recent U.S. trade deficit.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is the Global Head of Currency Strategy at Brown Brothers Harriman. Mark and I talk on really a weekly basis to look ahead to what to expect in terms of currency moves, central bank moves, and general news events that could drive the markets. I wanted to bring Mark on this weekend show because he posted a very interesting article dealing with the U.S. trade balance and how it's deteriorating despite having record exports. In December, we saw the U.S. trade deficit swell to $53 billion, and that was a bit larger than expected. But again, considering that exports continue to increase, there's an imbalance here that I think many people aren't paying attention to. Mark, can you share some of your conclusions from this article?
Yeah, so here's the issue. Is right now we have, a President of the United States who seems to be very much focused on correcting the bilateral trade deficits the U.S. has with many countries, including Germany, but Europe as a whole, Japan, China, Mexico, Canada. And so I think that earlier this year, the U.S. has already put tariffs on washing machines, solar panels. We're waiting, still pending issues to be decided on steel, aluminum, which are cited on national security grounds, which means it could be a broader application. as well as intellectual property rights seem to be focused on China. And so it makes sense then, if the president is focused on the trade balance, that we should be as investors. And what we're seeing happening is that we have a good story and a bad story. The good story is the U.S. has now surpassed Saudi Arabia in producing oil. At the current pace, it looks like we can challenge Russia, that's producing about 11 million barrels a day. U.S. is about 10.1 right now. Saudi Arabia just below 10 million barrels a day. So the net effect of this, of course, then, is that the U.S. energy trade balance has really improved. The U.S. has emerged not only on oil, gasoline, some of the other distillate products, a major exporter on the world stage. So while the energy balance is improving, we know that the overall trade balance is deteriorating. So that means that we're having a very sharp deterioration in the non-oil balance. And that is coming from two big sources. One is consumer goods, and the second, capital equipment. And partly what this reflects is that the U.S. economy is growing faster than many of our trading partners. And so what that means then is the U.S. is sucking in imports to fuel domestic demand while the world economy is growing well, and that's helping boost U.S. exports. But because the imbalance is so large, we need to see a much larger jump in U.S. exports if we're going to get the closing of the deficit, or we have a drop in imports. Drop in imports typically only happens in the U.S. when we go through a recession. So can the U.S. really, if the U.S. is going to correct the trade imbalance, can we really do so from the export side? And it doesn't look to me like we can. Here's why. The U.S. typically is not so focused on exporting. We have now McKinsey Global Institute. They do some interesting work, and you can find their stuff a lot of free on the internet. But part of the problem here is that McKinsey did a report. They said that only 1% of U.S. companies are exported. 1%. So we have a very small export base. 1% of our companies export. But the bigger problem seems to be that we are using a very antiquated export platform. That is, McKinsey Global found that the average age of U.S. factories is about 25 years old. And our average equipment in those factories is about 9 years old. And so when you think about how fast technological progress is, we're using nine-year-old technology to compete with the Chinese, the Japanese, other countries who have stepped up their investment and are using state-of-the-art technology. And so McKinsey Global argues that the U.S. needs to spend about $115 billion a year for the next decade to really upgrade our manufacturing base. And I'm afraid that's not going to be forthcoming. On the other hand, the good news here is that the tax cuts, which include depreciation and expedited depreciation allowance, give companies a wherewithal and some incentives to really boost the investment. Whether we get it or not is a different story, but it tells me that we have a serious trade problem, and the part of the problem might be what other countries are doing with their practices, like perhaps China is dumping solar panels in the U.S. Perhaps they are taking advantage in other ways of the openness of the U.S. economy. But there are things that we in the United States are our own worst enemy, and that is we have not really had a strong upgrade of our manufacturing capacity in the equipment. And the same thing is true in Canada. You know, one of the big challenges Canada has is that the productivity lags behind the U.S. Productivity growth lags behind the U.S. And that also requires then greater investment. And the problem is when the Canadian dollar is low, there's not much incentive to boost capital expenditures. But when the Canadian dollar is high and it can be afforded, when it's high, it's less affordable, even if it's more needed. And so I think that both Canada and the U.S. are sort of in the same kind of position, that we need to boost our productivity. That requires investment. And yet businesses seem to be reluctant to invest.
So much of this does come down to private sector investing. As you were saying, we have old equipment, we have old factories, and by really increasing the energy exports, that's not helping the actual investment in manufacturing in the U.S., and all of this does have a drag on GDP, especially Q4 GDP. It's estimated that these exports drag down the GDP number by just over 1%. there are opportunities, obviously, if we can get some more investment in all of North America, Canada and the U.S. But, Mark, in terms of the plans for the Trump administration and the whole idea behind tax cuts helping investment in the U.S. by onshoring some of the money, I don't know if that's enough. It is still, as you said, almost too U.S. focused, isn't it?
Yeah, so what we know from companies is that there might be some increase in investment, but the bulk of the money from the tax break seems to be going to be to use to reward shareholders in the form of stock buybacks, debt buybacks, dividends, and maybe the kind of investment is merger, you know, basically buying another company, mergers and acquisitions, which are still cross-border M&A activity still looks pretty strong. So yeah, so I'm concerned, but here's how we can get back into like, what does this mean for the currency markets? So there's generally speaking, there's two models of valuation for currencies. One is the one that I typically emphasize, and that is focused on policy, monetary fiscal policy, interest rate differentials, cost of money, that kind of incentive structure. The other major school of thought, if you will, has different measures of the external accounts. So why should the dollar fall? The dollar should fall because the U.S. has a large trade deficit and we need to have a weaker dollar to attract the money to finance it. And as the dollar falls, that'll also boost the price competitiveness of U.S. exports. That's the way the theory goes. Meanwhile, since I've been born, I don't think the U.S. has run a trade surplus, especially in manufactured goods. And so, but anyway, these are the two schools of thought. So right now, a lot of people who are bearish on the dollar say, look, Japan, current account surplus. China, current account surplus. Europe, current account surplus. U.S., current account deficit. Surplus countries should see appreciating currencies. That's the euro, that's the yen, that's the RMB. And the dollar, the current account deficit country, should see a weaker currency. So many people who focus on, say, the basic balance like that, look at the external accounts, would still see the widening of the U.S. trade deficit as dollar negative.
Absolutely, Mark. If the trade deficit continues to move in the direction that it's going, then the dollar could continue to be under pressure. It's quite the market for what we saw last year and the continued weakness in the U.S. dollar. You would think that that could actually help out the trade deficit with exports, but again, being so focused on energy exports is not the best for the country. Hopefully we do start to see some more capital spending. Mark, it's always great having you on the show. I appreciate our weekly comments, and I do appreciate your website, Mark to Market. Everybody, please check that out, and please stick around for the next segment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. and what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the Weekend Edition. In this segment, I am chatting with Chris Temple. He is the founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris also joins me on pretty much a daily basis on our website to provide market commentary in a wide range of markets. Whatever's moving that day or whatever we see on the forefront for the markets, Chris and I always talk about this. But why I wanted to bring him on the weekend shows for almost a more broad topic. We've seen a lot of volatility in the U.S. equity market, some pretty crazy swings, and it has a lot of people thinking, are we setting up for a crash? And I think the more important question is, what sort of crash could we see if it actually materializes? Chris, let's compare the crashes of 2000-2008, so that's the tech bubble, and the housing crash, compared to what happened in 1987. A lot of people remember 1987 as Black Monday, a horrible day for the markets. But comparing these two crashes to what we're facing right now, in your eyes, what are some of the indicators we could watch? What are some of the important factors for people to consider rather than just listening to those commentators that say we're always due for a crash and watch out, the sky is always falling in?
Well, you don't want to listen to them in the first place, Corey, like you and I talked about on a show several days ago. But in general, you need to break down, and this is an oversimplification, but for sake of discussion, you need to break down the two kinds of factors that cause a major market decline to determine how bad it is, how long it might last, and so forth. One is a market event those type of technical factors. The other are more systemic ones. And as you and I talked earlier this week when I expressed my opinion that after Monday's huge drop and then the gap down on Tuesday, I thought that was the majority of this current decline, even though it's going to be pretty volatile afterwards. We may go higher, may go lower, but it's not going to be that dramatic. And there's a lot of reasons people can go back and listen to us from Tuesday for the specifics. But this was a market event. There's nothing wrong with the underlying economy at this point in time. There was no suggestion of any liquidity issues. And even this time around with the trading, some of the forced selling that happened for those traders who had shorted volatility, and as the VIX spiked on Monday afternoon, they had to cover those shorts, buy back the VIX. That caused, as a consequence, market selling, and that's why we had that 1,000-point drop in the Dow at one point in scarcely 15 minutes. That's a market event. Doesn't reflect at all on the underlying economy, where earnings estimates are rising, the economy is doing well, virtually all the economic statistics are doing great, and so forth. In that respect, Corey, it most closely resembles in pattern what we saw happen in 1987. I was in the business at that time. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. And to this day, I still have my newsletter from the 1st of September telling people what was coming. And the reason I did was because we had, first of all, had a very overbought market in 1987. It got frothy. From January through the end of August, the Dow and S&P had both risen about 40%. And when the market crashed, it just gave back all of those gains for the year. And it crashed back then because the dollar, despite the big rise in U.S. stocks, the dollar had been weakening and interest rates were rising. The same pattern is what just led to this. The numbers are different as far as the percentages, but it was exactly the same pattern. And I suspect that at least for now, this market event will end just like the one did in 87. After the market finally bottomed, it chopped around for a while. Within a year, it was making new highs because the underlying economy was still very strong. The difference between those and where you have systemic issues is 2008 is the best example of that, where you had, and there were months of warning for this coming ahead of time, where you started to have counterparties in trouble. You saw stress in the banking system, particularly where it related to mortgages. And all of these things were evident, and in the derivatives markets as well, Corey, months before the climactic point came in September of 2008. And the reason why it took so long to recover from that, and the reason why you had the central bank had to really move heaven and earth to make sure we really didn't circle the toilet bowl and get flushed down in a deflationary abyss, is because you did have liquidity issues. You did have deflation of asset prices that was getting to be uncontrollable back then. So that's something that we utterly do not have right now. In fact, we have quite the opposite. Will we have at some point down the road another 2008 again? Sure. But that's not what we're dealing with right now. Last but not least, 2000 was kind of a combination of the two. Here again, it was because the markets, first of all, had gotten way overly expensive. And it started out as a market event. The fun thing for someone in my position, and really it should have been for everybody, is that at least back then, it was easiest to pick the top of the tech bubble and the stock market overall in early 2000 because you had a date certain when a lot of what was feeding it had to end, which was January 1. And why was that? Because the whole world was parking their money in U.S. markets and U.S. dollar-denominated assets leading up to Y2K in case it really was something to worry about. Because they knew, and some of you have heard me say this before, Alan Greenspan was the single most destructive policymaker in U.S. history. He gave us the derivative markets and everything unregulated, unaccountable, that later led to the 2008 crash. But he did one thing right as Fed chairman, and he made absolutely sure going way back to the mid-90s that Y2K problems were not going to be problems for the U.S. markets and the U.S. financial system. And the whole world knew it. And so it was really, that was a no-brainer to pick that particular top because when January 1st came and went and the elevators hadn't crashed and the airplanes weren't falling from the sky and everybody's computers still worked, the main bullish input for U.S. markets was gone. That all reversed.
Yeah, I remember when moving into 2000, everyone talking about how, yeah, planes were just going to be falling out of the sky. It was something kind of funny to look back on, but it does make sense that that also led to a top. But Chris, 2000, 2008, both of those we can isolate. As you said, a certain market that really pulled the rest of the markets down. Do you not think that we have certain markets now when we look either domestically or around the world, all-time highs in a number, well, before these corrections, in a number of markets, plus even look at some of the new markets like cryptocurrencies that have definitely topped and are heading down? Is there not a combination of these markets that could also lead to something similar to 2000, 2008?
There absolutely is. And Corey, if I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times, the very nature of our fractional reserve system that we have, the very nature of markets where you have leverage on top of leverage on top of leverage. Tomorrow we could have a crash if something pulled the right stick out from this big monetary Jenga game that we play in the banking system and the markets. No question about that. But looking at probabilities, my view simply is this: that there are virtually no signs of the types of liquidity issues, systemic worries and whatnot, at least in the U.S., that we had in 2008. And as the market decline unfolded, started to affect things back in 2000 and 2001. Will they develop again at some point? Certainly. But right now, what the dynamic is that all of this liquidity the central banks pumped into the world for nearly a decade since the financial crisis is finally having more noticeable traction in the economies of the world, on Main Street, and so forth. And it's got enough juice, all else being equal, to continue moving things forward or at least keep things aloft where they're at right now. It would be healthy if we go through an extended period of time when the stock market just chops sideways and we don't have the kind of unsustainable gains that led to this mini crash that we had in the last several days. After that, we're going to get to a point where debt is going to become too intractable again. Like I said the other day, President Donald, I love debt, Trump, is going to set records for a lot of things, including annual deficits before he's done, especially when the next recession does come, which it inevitably will. So when we get to the point where interest rates start moving up in a more uncontrollable way because there's such a new need for financing and the markets can't absorb it, that's something I'm going to be watching as much as anything, because that is another worry. And this is why, you know, we went in short order from the 10-year treasury being stuck around 240 to 250 to boom, all of a sudden it's near 290 early this last Monday morning. That kind of a rise is going to have the kind of impact to some extent we saw on stocks.
Okay, well, one thing that I think this mini little crash is good for is making people wake up and realize that, you know what, the market's just not going to keep going up forever, and take a look at some of the underlying fundamentals as to why the market did correct the way it did. We are out of time for this first hour. I hope everybody enjoys the second hour and what Al has to say in KER Politics.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Rank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Rank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Franklin Limited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited. A name you can trust.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.